Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. So tonight, we're going to learn something that we're probably going to be learning our entire life. You may have heard it, you may never have heard it, but if you get a hold of this, it can change your walk with God. If you get a hold of this, you can see the promises of God pop out in your life like never before. If you get a hold of this, you can see God bless your marriage, bless your children, bless your job, bless your home. What we're talking about tonight is we're talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness. You say faithfulness, okay, what does that mean? Well, let me define it for you. Faithfulness is basically this. Faithfulness is believing that God is the creator, that Jesus is the Son of God, and living your life like that, living it out. You see, a lot of people will say, well, I believe in Jesus. I celebrate Jesus. I go to church. I mean, I'm in church tonight. You know, doesn't that mean that I'm doing good? Doesn't that mean that I'm following God? Aren't I faithful? Aren't I keeping the faith? Well, no, you got to live like it. Your actions need to follow up what you believe. You know, what you believe and what you hear in the sermons and what you read in the Bible, your life actually has to follow up with that. And see, some of you maybe feel like you've been going in circles with God, and you're saying, how come nothing's changing? How come I'm not getting the blessings that they're talking about? Well, are you being faithful? Are you walking in faithfulness? You see, let me tell you what faithfulness is not. It's not a prayer here and there. It's not a church attendance here or there. It's not going to a conference or a camp or you know, when they do the church birthday parties, you know, I'm always there. I'm there for the big things. It's being faithful with God day in and day out, believing that he is the creator and that Jesus is the Son of God and the decisions in your life following up with that. You say, okay, Pastor Michelle, that seems so easy. I've heard this before. We've heard it before. But still, people drift away. Still, people stop following God. In fact, in Hebrews 2:1, we can have it up on the overhead for you. In Hebrews 2:1, it says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. None of us can say that this doesn't apply to us. Does this have an age limit on this verse? No. Does it say, well, I've been serving God for 2 decades. I've been serving God for 2 days. No, it applies to all of us. Because I think all of us can think back to when we got saved, whether that was this morning or maybe you've been serving God for 60 years, whatever it is. And you can think back, where is so-and-so? They used to sit right next to me. They were the ones who invited me. Where did they go? And all of a sudden, it was just as if they just had drifted off. And they're not faithful anymore. You see, you and I need to get a hold of this so we're not the ones drifting. Don't think that you're so strong. You say, but Pastor Michelle, I'm Sunday night. Sunday night, Pastor Michelle. Okay? You know, I got this. You know, we may think that we have it, but we could easily get caught in the current. We could easily get caught in the drift, and we don't want to do that. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie, Back to the Future, all right? But I remember when Marty McFly had a picture. It was of his family. And all of a sudden, the people just started drifting away in the picture. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I want people to say, man, she's been there. I'm going to see her in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. So tonight, we're going to learn 5 things, because you're Sunday night, so I'm going to give you 5 things, okay? I know you can handle it. 5 things on how to avoid the drift. Let's not get caught in the current of the world. Let's not get caught in the world's ways of doing things, but let's stay with God. Number one thing is remember why you started. Faithfulness has a start. And this is where a lot of people make a mistake. They don't start. They say they started. They say that, well, I'm following God. But they're not really following God. Remember I said that faithfulness isn't just coming here or there or just kind of believing God whenever you feel like it or whenever you need something. It's day in, day out, believing that God is the creator and Jesus is the Son of God. Continually living like that. You see, we need to remember why we started. Those moments when we feel like quitting. Those moments when we feel, maybe you have seeds of doubt that have been planting in you. I don't know about you, but have you ever had somebody ask you a question about God? especially these people who are trained to ask you hard questions about God, that they know how to work those questions in circles, all right? And pretty soon you're just so frustrated, you're like, I don't know, just Jesus is God and I love him, okay? And we can easily get so frustrated, but then you go back and you think, do I know anything? Do I even know anything? And all of a sudden these seeds of doubt start coming into your heart. You've got to remember why you started. There must be a start. There must be a continually going. And in fact, Paul calls it a race, running a race. You've got to be in that race. Some of you are just watching people go by. Whoop, whoop. And you haven't even joined the race yet. You think you're in the race, but all you're doing is handing out the orange slices in the water. Okay, you need to jump in and get into that race. It's not about what we do. It's not about how many church services we go to. We think that that's like some kind of sacrifice to God. Well, I go to church with my wife or my husband, or, you know, my mom makes me come, or whatever the situation is. And you think that it's just little brownie points with God. God's not looking for that type of sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. We don't have to do these works over and over and over again on Christmas and Easter. We do it because we love him. We are continually living for him because we love him, because from the very start, when we started, we kept going with him. Say, oh, Pastor Michelle, you don't know my hang-ups. You don't know my issues. You don't know how hard it is to run this race. You don't know where I live or where I came from. I don't know, but God knows. And it's not too big. Is the tomb empty? Is the tomb empty? Because if the tomb is empty and he raised Jesus from the dead and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, then he can take care of your situation too. It's not too big. In fact, turn to Acts. I want to show you this really cool verse, kind of a crazy verse. Acts 19, verse number 19. And you say, well, Pastor Michelle, I have some hangups. Well, I want to show you some people who have some hangups. Some people say that the Bible is boring, it doesn't relate to me. Oh, you haven't read the scriptures I've read, okay? Look at this in Acts 19, verse number 19. The Spirit of God was moving and says, and also many of those who had practiced magic, whoa, 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 whoa. It says that in the Bible? These people practice magic. He said, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. There was a start for this group of people. There was a start for these people who had extreme issues. They had a start, and they burned that sin that was holding them back. You need a start. If you keep on drifting away from God, if you keep on having a pattern of getting saved over and over and over again, if you're not seeing the promises of God, have you even started the race? When I was a young girl, I grew up in this church. But as a teenager, you know, I kind of did my own thing. So if you have a teenager, that's okay. They're going to come back to the Lord. I did. It's okay. It's going to be all right. All right? But the day that I got saved, it was a normal Sunday night, actually. And the youth pastor gave the altar call that I had heard 100 times my entire life. And one day it just clicked. It was like, I need to give my life to God. I need to start running this race. And my walk with God started with this. And I'm going to show you. It started with this on that Sunday night, a trash bag. And I grabbed a trash bag and I went through my room as a 16-year-old girl. And I threw out everything that I knew that would hold me back from God. I trashed it. I trashed CDs. I trashed books. I trashed so many things that I filled up a trash bag. I couldn't even believe it. I didn't know there were so many ungodly things in my life. This was before, you know, cell phones, so I couldn't delete phone numbers, you know, of bad people. So I had to, like, go through my paper address book and, like, rip it out, throw it in there. Okay, so pre-iPhone. And so I started with this trash bag because I knew those things would hold me back. I knew if I didn't trash them now, I probably wouldn't be serving God later. I would get caught in the drift. Listen, you've got to trash some things. You've got to have a start. You've got to throw away some stuff. What do you need it for? What are you worried about? Why would you want to go back to it? It's like fat pants if you've ever lost some weight. What are you keeping the fat pants for? Throw them away. You don't want to go back there. Throw away the fat pants. But we get so nervous. Well, what if I need it? My ex, what if I'm lonely? You know, I know I shouldn't be drinking this much, but what if I can't handle the pressure? And we go back and we look in our trash bag. Instead of throwing it out, instead of letting it be, maybe some of you have been caught dumpster diving. And you thought you left your trash there for God. And so many years you've been doing good, and so many years, but all of a sudden the pressure comes in, just like Pastor Luke was talking about. Here comes the devil, throwing darts at you. Instead of kicking him in the face, maybe you start to revert back, and it's just a slow drift. You see, when people stop serving God, it's usually not, you know, today's the day I'm quitting church. Today's the day I'm quitting God. Today's the day I'm never going to go to church. It's usually not like that. It's usually a little doubt here, a little offense here, a little pressure there, a little temptation. Pretty soon you feel too guilty to go into church Sunday morning because what you did Saturday night. And you start drifting and drifting and drifting. And then you start digging through the trash that you gave Jesus, and you're dumpster diving. And you're digging through here and you're finding stuff, and it is so shameful. And maybe some of you feel so ashamed. And I'm telling you right now, you can get over it. You can trash it forever. You can let it go and start tonight. You can start. You don't have to go back. Five things to avoid the drift. Number one is remember why you started. Number two is I want you to know that faithfulness is doable. You can do it. I know it may seem impossible. You say, serve God my entire life, like forever? I just don't know. How can I do that? You can do it. It is so doable. I'm going to prove it to you in Galatians 5:22. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. This is a good verse. I learned this one probably in children's ministry. But let's go ahead and have it up on the overhead. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and what? Faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. When you get saved, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And because he's living inside of you, you start to change. You start to become a new person. And all of a sudden, you start to do these things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. It's part of you. It's part of who you are. It's not something that you have to think about too much. It's not rocket science. You just start becoming that person because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. It's just like this. When you plant a seed and it grows, it's natural. It just happens. You know, I happen to have a garden, and we live on an acre of land, and so we have all this land, and I needed to do something with it. So we decided to plant some seeds. Now, I went and I bought myself some seeds from the dollar store, okay? These are not special seeds. These are not magic seeds. These aren't anything like that. These are your regular cheapest seeds that you could find. And I started planting the seeds, and you know what I did? I watered it, gave it some sun. Super easy to do. And you know what happened? A zucchini plant started to grow. And it grew. It was amazing. It just grew. That's how it is with you, with your walk with God. You come into church, plant yourself in church, get watered with the word, spend some time in the sun. You are going to grow. It is doable. You can do it. You can grow, and you will see yourself doing things that you never thought you could do. In fact, I want to show you. This is my little background of things back here, but this is the last one. But this is the zucchini that came from the zucchini plant, from the dollar store seeds. I don't know your background. I don't know where you came from. Maybe you're a first generation Christian. It does not matter. Plant yourself in the church. Water yourself in the word. Spend some time in the sun, and you are going to grow. It is doable. You're going to make it. It's not rocket science. Sometimes we overthink things. We think we need to get this, that, and the other, and it's like the power of Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you to do that. Simple as that. You say, but what about temptation, Pastor Michelle? Temptation, that's my thing. I have some temptations in my life. You know, we all have temptations. Everyone has different ones. And you're going to realize through your Christian walk, they're going to change. You know, when you were tempted the first day that you got saved, you know, you're not going to be tempted by that same thing 10 years from now, 20 years from now. It's going to be different. And temptation is going to come. But did you know this? This is how cool God is. Is that researchers have found that inside of every person, there is a willpower bank inside of you. Did you know that? Everybody has about so much willpower in them. Let's just say that you have $100 worth of willpower inside of you. Okay, that's pretty amazing. So you can say no to things and you can get through the day saying no to stuff. But did you know that just like a bank account, you can run out of money? And you're saying no to so many things, all of a sudden, at the end of the day, you can't stand the temptation anymore, and you give in to something, okay? Let's say, for instance, have you ever woken up in the morning, say, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to eat right. I'm not going to eat sweets. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, all right? I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to eat anything bad. And so you go to a party and you see somebody's cake or, you know, somebody makes you your favorite dish or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden, all this stuff's coming out of your, you know, your willpower bank account. And by the end of the day, you and Haagen-Dazs have just been eating on the couch at midnight and you don't know what happened. All right? Because you've spent all your willpower. You say, why do I say that? You need to make decisions now, pre-decisions before you get into that time of temptation. People who make decisions now, who decide, you know what, I'm not going to go to those parties. I'm not going to date that type of person. I'm not going to act like that type of person. You make those decisions now, when you get to that temptation, that willpower bank is going to be full. Nothing's going to be taken out because you've already made that decision. That's what science tells us. That's how God has put inside of us. And did you know that your willpower can be exercised like a muscle and grow and grow and grow? That's why what tempted you on your first day of salvation does not tempt you now. I am not tempted by a beer. I am not tempted by partying with my friends. I just want to sleep. I have a 10-month-old, okay? I mean, everything changes as you get stronger and stronger with God. You can work that muscle. I know it's hard, but you know, willpower is a tough thing, but you can make those right decisions. You know, I want to show you guys a video. In the 70s, they did this thing. It's called the marshmallow test. And they took children, and they put them in a room, and they gave them a marshmallow. And they gave them a marshmallow, and they said, if you have willpower to not eat this one marshmallow for 15 minutes, it's a long time for a kid, then I'm going to come back and give you a second marshmallow. So let's go ahead and lower the lights and see what happened.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
The willpower test feels like that sometimes. Oh, if I just give in, will anybody notice? Will anybody care? God knows. God knows. Faithfulness is doable. Faithfulness. Make those hard decisions now. That's why we have people do a public commitment, where they walk an aisle and they've made this decision. Now I'm going to serve God. I've publicly made that a commitment in front of everybody. Accountability is so powerful. Between a husband and wife, between friends, SPTs, breaking free and their mentors, it works. because you make a commitment, you make a decision. In the youth ministry, we do a thing called True Love Waits. And we have the teenagers make public commitments to not have sex before they're married. That way, when they're alone with their boyfriend or their girlfriend and temptation comes their way, they can say, you know what? I've already made this decision. Make those tough decisions now, and faithfulness is doable. And there's a reward for that. You know, those kids were waiting 15 minutes to get their second marshmallow. Hey, God has promises for those who are faithful, which brings me to number three. Remember his promises to the faithful. To avoid the drift, you've got to remember those promises, because you are going to get tired, because it is going to be tough. You know, promises are a condition for a reward. You know that, right? Like, there are certain promises God has that are conditional. Like, you have to be doing something or be in faithfulness, which is what I'm going to talk about, and they're conditional so that you can get that reward. You know, we use promises all the time with our kids, don't we? I mean, we say, listen, if you do your chores, promise you, we're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese or a reward, something. We always do that. You get good grades. You know, I promise you, we're going to go to the movies. We do these things with our kids, and God also does it with us. You know, my son, we just started doing water safety lessons. And I went to a party just recently. Some of you may have been at it. And my son was in the water, and I said, don't walk off this step. He's 4 years old. I said, don't walk off this step. He's in the pool, all right? We kind of didn't plan ahead, so, you know, neither one of us wanted to, like, be in the pool with him. So I'm like, just stay at this step right here. So he said, okay. And he walks right off the step into the water, and his big blue eyes are looking at me through the water. And I jump in with my boots and I pick them up. And I'm like, we're doing water safety. That's what we're going to do. You're going to learn how to swim. And so he's doing this water safety, and it's really, really hard for him. Like, he hates it. Like, he does not want to be there. He does not want to do it. And I have to tell him, Carter, if you do the starfish, if you lay on your back, okay, if you learn how to swim, then you're going to get something. You're going to get a toy. You're going to get a promise. It's a promise. You say, Pastor Michelle, aren't you bribing your kid? No, it's a promise, and God does it with us. When we are faithful, God gives us promises. It's a good thing. It's a good reward. Listen, tomorrow's Monday, and you're going to be frustrated with the coworker. You got to listen to this. You got to get this. God has promises for you when you are faithful to him. When you live like God is the creator, that Jesus is the Son of God, and you don't curse them out, okay? And you don't switch to decaf with the caffeinated, all right? I mean, God will bless you for that. He has blessings for the faithful. Can I read you some of them? Because they're exciting. If you want to write them down, write them down, but listen up. He is faithful. God is faithful to the faithful. I know that's deep, but let me read you a verse in Psalms 18:25. It says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. Do you know that God doesn't owe anything to the unfaithful? God doesn't owe anything to the unfaithful, but to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. He will make it evident in your life. It will be proof. You will be able to see it. You will be able to feel it because you've been faithful with him. You know what he does to the faithful? He preserves them in Psalms 31:23. Oh, the love of the Lord. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. He preserves you. See, this recession has been tough. I know. It's been tough. But you know what? God will preserve you. It is a promise. Another thing he does is he blesses the faithful. He blesses the faithful. You say, well, that doesn't sound too exciting. Oh, no, no. You don't know God's blessings. You don't know God's blessings that run over. You don't know God's blessings that you can't even contain it. I mean, church, he will bless the faithful. In Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. He wants to bless you, and he wants it to abound and go over. It says that to the faithful, he will give increase. In Matthew 25:23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. He'll give you increase. He will increase your capacity. He will increase your responsibility, but he will also increase the income and the love in your life and your family, and he is going to bless you. Another one is eternal life. He promises us eternal life to those who are faithful. In Revelations 2:10 says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Church, we can look forward to eternity. It bums me out when people stop following God because they're looking at the here and now. Their vision is so short. We've got to be looking to eternity. And if we don't see another blessing or promise here on earth, we have the promise of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Blesses us with promises. Number four, ways to avoid the drift is, remember, God uses the faithful. God uses the faithful. God doesn't use the ones he can't trust. God doesn't use the unreliable. God uses the faithful. The ones who make choices that he is the creator. The ones who make choices that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who their life follows up with that. God wants to use you. Don't you want to have greater influence in your life? Don't you want to have greater influence in ministry? You say, Pastor Michelle, that pulpit? I don't do that pulpit. I don't touch that pulpit. I'll never be behind a pulpit. No, you're seeing this all wrong. God uses the faithful. You are faithful. You have a personal pulpit in a sense. And I don't say that lightly. What I mean is that in your life, you preach to people. In your life, you have influence that I could never reach, that the pastors could never reach. Don't you want God to increase that influence with your students, with where you do your ministry serving? How about with your kids? Wouldn't you like greater influence with your kids? Wouldn't you like the young adult kids to call you and say, Mom, I need advice? You say, I've been praying for this. I know we do that. With your young children, how about at your job? How about with your boss? How about to get that promotion that you need? How about to get that job that you need? God uses the faithful and he increases their capacity, and he wants you to see that you do have a pulpit, and he wants to increase your influence. But you've got to be faithful. You've got to be trustworthy. He promotes those that he trusts. He promotes those that he trusts. He gives more responsibility to those that he knows are going to use it right. You can be that person. You can do that. And I'm going to show you to you in scripture. But before I do, a lot of times, people haven't even discovered their purpose. You say, what do I care about influence? I don't even know what I'm doing here. I don't even know, Pastor Michelle, my life isn't that great. My job isn't that great. I don't have any relationships that I feel are important. You need to find your purpose. When you discover your purpose, then you're going to realize how you want to be used by God. You've got to find your purpose. Have you ever been a part of something and there were so many people involved that you didn't feel you were needed? Say, I'm not needed here. I'm not needed for this project. I'm not needed for this event. And you just kind of backed out and you went home and you didn't feel like you were used. You see, you need to find your purpose. And you may say to yourself, well, I'm here at the Rock Church, this mega church, with 20,000 plus members. And I don't think you guys need me. Oh no, we do need you. You are needed. You are a part of the body of Christ. You reach people that we don't even know. You are so needed, and God has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you, but you've got to be faithful. You've got to be able to be counted on. You've got to be there in the seats and hearing the word and knowing the scriptures so that you can say it to somebody else. God wants to use you. My husband and I, we do a lot of counseling, and people come to us with some really, really tough situations. I mean, really tough situations. And recently somebody came to us and she was just completely alone. She was completely alone. Something horrible, horrible has happened. And she comes up to us and she says, I don't know what to do. I just gave my life to God on Easter. I gave up all my friends and I don't have anyone to help me through this situation. She didn't have anyone. But you know what? Because there were faithful people in the church, we could easily refer her to them. We said, you go to them. Come on, I'm going to introduce you to somebody. These are going to be your friends. They're going to pray for you. They're going to stand in faith with you. And because they were faithful, seasoned volunteers, they were able to hold her up in a very tough time. That is you. God wants to use you. That should be exciting. That should be something that you want to happen. But you've got to be faithful. Find your purpose, and it will keep you faithful with God. I'm telling you. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, it says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is a beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church." In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." You want God to use you, you got to be found faithful. 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus the Lord, who's enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry." God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You want to avoid the drift? You remember you have a purpose. You remember God wants to use you with your kids. You remember God wants to use you for your spouse and for your family members. And I know it's hard to deal with them, but you can pray for them and God will change them and speak to them. And he wants to use you to do that. Five ways to avoid the drift. The last one is this. Remember, God is always faithful. You see, I can't come up here and preach about how we're supposed to be faithful and not remind you how faithful God is. God is faithful. He is there. I know you feel alone, maybe. Maybe some of you did come in here and you say, "I am so worn. I am so tired of serving God. Pastor Michelle, I just watched, you know, a documentary on the History Channel about why God's not real." Now, what are you doing that for? You cannot go to the world to find out answers about God, okay? First of all, maybe you've been reading some blog posts by somebody who has no degree in anything, planting seeds of doubt about God, about the church, and you're saying, "Ugh, I'm just tired, I'm just worn out. I can feel myself drifting. I can feel myself going backwards." Listen, you need to remember that God is faithful. He is there for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He has a plan for your life. He will not leave you. Let me give you a couple last scriptures for tonight. In Psalms 36:5, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." Psalms 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." In 1 Samuel 2:9, says Hannah's prayer when she, this was Hannah's prayer when she dedicated her son to God. It says, "He will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will despair in darkness." Listen, God is with you. He is faithful. He will protect you. He is there for you. You say, "Oh, Pastor Michelle, in all your wisdom, you're going to tell me that. All your wisdom that you have." Listen, this is just not me. I could look on the front row and ask every one of these people, amazing people, Mignon, is God faithful? Absolutely. Bill, Reverend Bill, is God faithful? You see, he is faithful. Pastor Joel, is God faithful? He is faithful. And church, I am encouraging you tonight. Don't quit. Don't get caught in the drift. Don't get caught in the world's current, but stay strong. Stay strong. Heed these things. It says, take special attention to these things to avoid the drift because God is good. Did you guys get something out of this? All right. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.